This episode of the Women Offshore podcast is sponsored by Crowley. Carry the world forward. To learn how you can elevate people and planet with Crowley, check out crowley.com/careers or follow them on LinkedIn and Facebook. Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the Women Offshore podcast. This is Ali Cedeno
and Christine McMillan.
We are both experienced seafarers.
And at Women Offshore, we are making waves.
The Women Offshore Foundation propels Women Plus into meaningful careers through access to a worldwide community and professional development resources, while raising awareness amongst industry leaders and decision makers about issues affecting women on the water. This podcast is an integral part of our mission, and we appreciate you listening in.
New episodes of the Women Offshore podcast are available every Tuesday. Subscribe on whatever platform you like to listen to podcasts on, and be in the know about the latest topics related to diversity, equity, and inclusion within the maritime and offshore industries.
Thanks for tuning in. We have another great episode for you today.
In today's episode, we dive into the journey of self-discovery and empowerment with our special guest, Nelly. She bravely shares her story of finding her authentic self. But what exactly does authentic self mean, and why is it so important? At Women Offshore, we believe the process of embracing and expressing one's genuine identity, free from societal norms, expectations, and the burden of conforming to external pressures, helps us to foster a sense of freedom and mental well-being. By daring to be true to oneself, individuals can experience a profound alignment between their inner essence and their external presentation, leading to increased self-esteem and a stronger sense of purpose. It is about acknowledging, accepting, and celebrating the unique individual we truly are, rather than just trying to fit into molds. Join us today as we embark on this enlightening conversation with Nelly, where we explore the challenges, triumphs, and lessons she encountered while embarking on her journey of self-discovery. Her story serves as a powerful reminder that embracing one's authentic self is not only an act of self-empowerment, but also a revolutionary act that shapes a more accepting and understanding world for all of us. Let's dive in. Hi, Nelly, and welcome to the Women Offshore podcast.
Hello, Christine. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I really want you to have a chance to tell your story. And I think that the best place to start is from the first day that you joined your ship as a newly licensed engineer. Can we start there? Because you have a really fascinating story that I want you to share with the audience. And so I just want to give a little background that you told me before is that you were you went to Great Lakes Maritime Academy and you were joining one of your ships for the first time and you were greeted at the gangway in a pretty brutal way. And so can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yes. This story was actually my first ever ship as a cadet. So,
okay.
As I anxiously awaited the ship, I was at Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. My nerves stood beside me, and as I approached the ship and got on board, as it lay alongside the lock wall, kind of cleared the area where I joined the ship at, and I was greeted by a white-haired old man who was the first mate. He had a mustache and cigarette and looked down at me and asked, "Are you a queer or a convict? Because only queers and convicts go to sea." And those words have remained with me all these years, because I couldn't believe what I was asked. I was an 18-year-old kid in a man's world. I was queer, but it surely wasn't written on my forehead. I was lost for words and never did answer the question. It was a story I've often told people, how it was different when I was a cadet. No one ever asked me if I was okay when I was a kid out on the ships, you know.
They never questioned your safety or wanted to know what your opinion was, much less your sexuality, right? To be greeted that way was rough. And so you did mention that you were queer, but you really weren't out of the closet. And so now
we're having this conversation here. And so give me a little bit of who you are now and how that differs from who you were as a cadet joining your first ship.
So who I was as a cadet joining my first ship was an individual seeking isolation and running from himself back then. And in today's world, I prefer to be considered herself, as I am a transgendered woman, and that is my identity currently and always has been. But for many years, I kept that under wraps and spent the majority of my career in the closet and isolated from everyone.
Wow. And so tell me why you chose a career at sea. It was definitely not the path of least resistance.
No, my earliest aspirations as a kid were to be a sailor on the Great Lakes or to be a long haul truck driver, both careers of which, you know, offer their own isolation. But I was drawn to it. And some interactions in my childhood probably labeled me as the family pervert, for lack of a better term. My family never once talked to me about the actions, nor did they seek a counselor or anything. It was put the kid in the corner and keep a close eye on him. Then when I went to the academy, it was the scourge of my family was finally gone. My parents didn't stay for the family barbecue. They turned tail and left for home, leaving me alone officially.
Wow. And so you're young. You were seeking isolation to some extent, but then you got it. You got your isolation that you were looking for.
Yeah, it was definitely
fun. And so do you have any defining memories from your childhood that you want to share?
I was around 5 to 6 years old and my earliest memories of gender dysphoria. Back then, I didn't know what it was called, and I didn't have anybody I could really talk to. I often assumed that I was gay. I mean, I wanted to wear girls' clothes, and what boy would want to do this unless he was gay? At least that was how my young brain looked at the thing, the situation. So I was a confused kid, didn't know who to talk to in the stage of my childhood. I know my dad was still pretty heavy into drinking at that age. He wasn't one to take kids out to play or anything either. It was different back then. All throughout my childhood, my mom referred to me as Nelly. This was when I was being a saucy girl or whining about something. She would often say, "Oh, there's Nelly again." It was not done in a mean way, nor did I actually mind it. I honestly appreciated being called a girl's name, but I never let anybody know that I liked it. This was in relation to Nelly Olson off of Little House on the Prairie. And one vivid memory I do have as a child, going school clothes shopping. And I remember going into the dressing room to try on the clothes that my mom wanted me to try on. And under the stall on the floor was a pair of women's or girls' underwear. They weren't women's underwear, but they were girls' underwear. And they became mine. I took them home with me. And I remember that very fondly. And I remember stashing them in my grandmother's attic under a loose floorboard and might even still be in the house today.
Wow. So can we take some time here to talk about your troubles with alcohol in college, depression of living this double life, and the adversities that you have overcome?
Yes. When I was finally free from the confines of my childhood, I found myself set free and I had my own job, and I had my own money, and eventually I bought clothes that I liked, a lot of them off eBay. When I was in college, I was dating a girl who I fell deeply in love with. Back at that stage in the game, I hadn't fully embraced myself as transgender either. I was a man who liked different things. I was scared to admit myself to anything else. She was the first person I told anything to, and I told her that I like to wear women's underwear. And I remember she laughed at me in the face, like literally laughed at me. So that was one of those moments where I decided I probably shouldn't tell anybody else, but she knew, and it broke the ice. Pretty soon I was wearing cute panties all the time. No one but her and I knew. Eventually, that relationship went south, and the drinking I was doing and the drinking she was doing led us both on separate paths, and we no longer saw each other. A lot of the alcohol use was driven, you know, with the party crowd in college and with my own self wanting to drown fears and memories of my childhood.
Yeah.
I guess I knew of crossdressers and drag queens and transvestites fights by that stage of my life, but denial is a hard road to hoe. Alcohol is an easy outlet, and it took me away. It also gave me the courage to go outside and buy clothes. I would often get drunk and go to the store and buy clothes I wanted. Self-checkouts were not really a thing back then, so I had to look the cashier in the eye with every purchase that I made, if it was a new blouse or a skirt. It was a nerve-wracking time, so the alcohol made it a little easier to do.
Yeah, it kind of numbs our senses, right? And so we're looking at authentic Nelly and your true self, and it's taken about 40 years to acknowledge what you've known from a young age. And so how do you feel when you can be Nelly?
Nelly is and always has been who I am. I often get hung up on the fact that I can never be as feminine looking as I see myself when I shut my eyes. On the inside, I know who Nelly is. She has been a part of my entire life. This is certainly not something I just woke up one day and said, I'm transgender. It has been a struggle to finally free myself from myself. I was my gatekeeper. I hid myself from everyone. I ran away to sea. I worked my ass off. I tried to be the best engineer I could be. No matter how fast I ran or what ship I was on, when I shut my door and looked in the mirror, there she was looking at me. When I get to truly be myself now, it is literally freeing. The ability to just be myself, whether it be out picking up groceries on the weekend or walking down a path, doing so as my authentic self, as Nelly, has freed my soul. And there was one person that told me there are no rules. I remember that every day. Unfortunately, it isn't always that simple. Life is trying. There is no golden ticket. I am happy with the vast majority of people who know me are aware. I feel that I can be anywhere. And if a person I see who I know, I don't have to worry about anything anymore. That in itself is a huge weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so what advice do you have for others who are questioning where they belong? And so what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
I had tried to offer advice to others that I wished I had known. Nowadays, there is a lot more information than when I was 20-something. The internet was only out for 9 years at that time. I wish I could reach anyone who is questioning where they belong and tell them that they are real and they do matter and that most certainly belong. Many times in my youth, I pondered running away or even worse outcomes. Too many people have taken those paths, and for what? Because someone said they don't belong?
What can we do in the maritime industry to combat bigotry and make the ocean more inclusive?
Unfortunately, the maritime industry is a far cry from being truly inclusive. Cisgendered women have a difficult time. I have sailed with both gay men and lesbian women and plenty of straight men, but not many of those in the lesser demographics often feel included. I have never sailed with anyone who is openly transgender, but I had heard stories about a few from other men who worked about them. One of those was a former captain of mine, very bigoted in his speech. I certainly felt a shift in the matrix after I came out as transgendered. Some individuals welcomed it. Others were quick to say, go woke, go broke, the often famous term nowadays. No one seemed to garnish the knowledge to understand the pronoun game. I was misgendered daily while working. I get it. They all knew me for years as a man, he, him. But I also don't understand why a conscious effort to affirm one's identity is not made. I guess it's mostly a lack of knowledge and understanding. A shred of empathy couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point is if we can just meet every individual with empathy, we'll be so much better as the human race.
Most definitely.
Nelly, thank you so much for recording with me, telling your story. I know it's hard. I know that you have a lot of a lifetime of figuring this out. And here at Women Offshore, we love to try to make people's lives easier by storytelling like this. So somebody might have a little easier time finding their authentic self. So thank you. Thanks for your time and your energy towards this. And do you have anything else that you'd like to share with the Women Offshore community today?
I would like to thank you for welcoming me and taking me on and allowing me to be a part of this. It was not something I had ever anticipated could or would or might ever happen. So to be a part of the Women Offshore podcast is definitely a very awesome part of my maritime career. And I do appreciate that. And I hope that there is at least one person, if there's only one person out there who listens to this and comes away with some feeling of self-dignity or affirms themselves that they do belong in the maritime industry as who they authentically are, then I guess our job is somewhat done.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Thank you so much again, and I look forward to our next conversation.
I do as well. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Women Offshore podcast.
Come back next Tuesday for another new episode.
If you want to propel Women Offshore forward, visit womenoffshore.shop. Make a donation or purchase some swag.
Until next time,
stay safe out there, and we will talk to you soon.